Today, on Rainbow Country, gender-bending rock band, pterodactyl problems. Stay tuned for Gay Talk Radio right here on Rainbow Country.
Hi, I'm Garrett Conley, author of Boy Erased, a memoir. You're listening to Rainbow Country with Mark Tara on CIUT 89.5 FM.
To Rainbow Country, as I like to call it, and have been over the last, 4 years? A little gay radio show working to give voice to the LGBT community and beyond. As always, I am your tour guide, a Mark Tara. So, my friends, this is episode 184. Today, Toronto-based gender-bending rock band, Pterodactyl Problems. I'll be joined by Davey White, vocals and guitar, Jack Neela, guitar, Karen Neely, guitar and bass, and Oliver Salathiel, drums. Up next, gender-bending rock band, Pterodactyl Problems. Heavy metal, alt rock, glam, a gender-bending, genre-defiling rock band. Davey vocals, Jack guitar, Karen bass, Oliver drums. Together they are Pterodactyl Problems. Hi.
Hey.
Hello.
Hello.
How is Pterodactyl Problems doing?
We are well.
It's good, yeah.
I think.
A little sleepy. We've had some stuff going. We were up in London, played a show a couple nights ago, so still recovering, but yeah.
It's cold. We're dealing with it.
First of all, thank you for being here in studio to have your voice and your stories be heard by the LGBT community and beyond. So thank you for doing that. Thank you for being here in person. Davey, you are the lead singer?
Yes.
Let's start here. Pterodactyl Problems. How did this name come about?
That is a sort of like, it's not contentious because none of us care too much about the question, but it's confusing because it was probably some misheard comment. We all met back in middle school. Kieran claims that somebody said something and then she was like, oh, did you say Pterodactyl Problems?
Is it me who like
That's what we're going with just for the sake of simplicity because nobody can keep – it was like how many years
ago? It was a long
ago?
Time ago.
Seven?
We don't know the real story and it's going to dissolve more and more into the years.
Yeah.
I still want to change the band's name to the Sex Mutants of Arabidopsis.
Yeah.
Well, it's not going to happen.
We're workshopping some things right
that's
now.
That's the first time I've ever heard you say that. That's actually a terrible name.
A golden title and the story behind it is so great.
It's
like Pterodactyl Problems, which has no story.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a title to spell. I don't know how to spell pterodactyl, so I just copy and paste.
It's a bit of a mouthful.
Pterodactyl. Jack.
Wow.
I can't even do that.
I was a bit of a spelling nerd in school. It was like the one subject I was good at.
So, speaking of spelling nerds, Jack, formed in 2012?
Formed in 2012. Pterodactyl was the
problems.
Original run.
How long has the group been officially Pterodactyl Problems?
I guess since 2017. Okay. We reformed in 2017 and we decided to re-record the three songs we wrote in 2012 and then a new one. So that's our self-titled EP, those four songs. And then we very quickly wrote Esoteric Hobbies, our debut album. We recorded that all through 2018.
Mm-hmm.
2018 was just...
We got serious in 2017. That's when we reformed and became like a real band.
Were all of you part of the original 2012 version?
Yep. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you guys broke up and then you reformed?
It's not so much that we broke up. We just, as you do in middle school, You middle just, school, you know, you go to different schools, you stop talking to your friends because you do.
Things happen. And, it's good to catch up with people that you.
Jack and Oliver kept going to, like, roughly to the same school for a while. And then Kieran and I ended up going to the same school as well. So we stayed in touch and have been playing music with them for a very long time. But yeah, we wanted to do some other stuff. And it's tough when you're not, that close.
Right.
Yeah.
Kieran, the sound of your band. Is it fair to say that Pterodactyl Problems is a rock band?
I think that's fair. Yeah, that seems quite fair.
Yeah. And you are the bass player?
Currently, I'm trying to not be the bass player.
Okay.
That's a different story.
Kieran wants to play guitar.
Okay.
I'm a guitar. I don't even like bass. I like bassists. I don't have any like disrespect.
Okay, but right now you're the bass player. So moving on.
So how did you get into playing bass in the band? Were you sort of like play the bass?
It all started because like me and Oliver wanted to start a band to like cover Jump by Van Halen, and we were for so long we were like finding like these different people to form our band out of, and we never actually rehearsed or anything, but I think the lineup like changed quite a lot over the time. And I just chose bass because we couldn't find any bassists in like elementary school.
Kieran is very modest, and she could list a large, you know, number of instruments that she plays and enjoys playing and is fairly proficient in. So we ask her to play bass really nicely, and then she does for now. So, but okay. Yeah. But we're keeping our eyes open for another lovely musician. So
Pterodactyl Problems can expand to 5 members?
No. Most certainly. We're including a live member.
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't want a 5th member.
Let's argue about this on radio. Let's do it.
Yes, so your question is yes. What?
Maybe, possibly, could be. Yeah. Never know, right?
Yeah. Keep an open mind.
Oliver.
Yes.
Esoteric Hobbies?
Esoteric Hobbies.
This is your current record?
It is.
And how long did this record take to make?
Like 6
minutes. An embarrassingly long time to make. We were recording kind of evenings and weekends for about 6 months. It was, in quotes, rushed. But the actual creation of it ended up taking a really long time.
Mm. Why?
It was rushed because we knew if we were going to take this seriously, we needed an album out soon.
So here's the deal. Was it rushed or were you taking time to make sure it's done properly? Because there's a difference.
I think the writing process was rushed. And we were just barely squeaking in what we needed to get done to make it what we needed it to be, to be happy with it. So it did end up into something that we all like, but it was rushed. And then the creation took a very long time, which was also frustrating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just because the actual recording process was so kind of arduous.
And this is your debut record?
It was our first album, yes. So that presented its own challenges being the first time.
And is the sound of the record indicative of Pterodactyl Problems live?
I would say so.
Pretty close, yeah. I don't know.
It is very. There is a lot of variety on there, and
there are some songs that we don't. Yeah, some of the songs on the record we don't play as much live because for a number of reasons. But most of them we stick to pretty faithfully. We don't have 2 Jacks playing live on stage, which is the only difference.
Yeah. If only we could double track live.
Yeah, it would be lovely to have 2 Jacks. But
And so how's been the response to the record?
Very positive.
Really great. I mean, everyone, we've had some decent press on it, and everybody seems to love it, and we've had a lot of good opportunities come out of it. So it's been really great, actually.
Well said, well said. Thanks. On that note, everyone, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Bill 7. To ban discrimination in employment, government services, and housing based on a person's sexual orientation was up for a vote at Queen's Park. Most NDP and Liberal MPPs supported the bill, but without some progressive conservative legislators' backing, a divisive split could rack the province. 4 PCs decided to break party ranks to vote with their conscience and support Bill 7. Cabinet Minister and MPP Dennis Timbrell did it to show solidarity for his beloved brother, the well-known drag queen, Rusty Ryan. And for me, a gay politician who was not yet out, I had to take a stand. We were known as the Gang of Four. I'm former Cabinet Minister and MPP Phil Gillies. The date, December 2nd, 1986, when LGBT rights came to Ontario.
I'm Sander Urien.
And I'm Danny Bensi.
And you're listening to Rainbow Country with Mark Tara on CIUT
89.5 FM.
Rock and roll is a drag, Davey. What is rock and roll is a drag all about?
No. Sorry.
We were trying to communicate with fingers in terms of time. Rock and roll is a drag is about taking what we, you know, some of the things we love, rock and roll and drag performance, and tossing them together and backing up some lovely drag performers and, yeah, and letting them really, like, do their thing while we really do our thing. So,
Jack.
Yes.
Rock and roll is a drag. Is this a specific show or is this every performance that Pterodactyl Problems does?
It happens it's the last Sunday of every month. It happens, but going on since September.
Yeah, we launched in September.
If you guys perform outside of that once a month thing, yep. It's a different show?
Yeah, just a rock show. Okay. Rock and Roll is a Drag, we perform a set of covers too for drag queens or kings to sing along to.
Right.
And then we play like a normal set right after that. And then a normal show is just us, but they're longer. And
we usually play more originals at our own shows, but we're very cover-focused.
Yeah, we also play covers for our live stuff too. Got to throw in some stuff that people know.
Mm. So how... Jack, how do you figure out what songs to play for the people that you're backing up?
It's like a mix of...
Do they send you the music? And you guys just like learn it?
We usually prepare a list. We get a large selection of songs and we work with the performers to pick out a number of them, and then we'll learn those properly.
It sounds like a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
It can be.
It's a bit of a logistical nightmare.
It's best. We've been trying to, like, when we started, it was very challenging in terms of, like, we were learning songs that none of us listened to and casually. Yeah.
There are songs that change tunings.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, like, logistics, but I think we've come to a point where we're realizing if we're doing the show, let's play music that we all, like, really enjoy. Mm-hmm. And that's, like, I think that's key to the rock and roll as a drag as a whole, because, like, you know, you can go listen to a lot of songs in other clubs in other places and see queens and kings and performers doing them, but, like, if you're coming to see us, you're going to be hearing Rage Against the Machine, you're going to be hearing some Metallica, you know what I mean, like that rock mm-hmm. stuff. We want to give people, like, we've talked to performers and they're like, this is one of the only places they can do this. I think there are some other ones, you know, in the West End of Toronto and stuff, but
Davey, if you're performing, you're backing up these drag performers, if you're doing that and they say, I want to do a Madonna song, how are you guys doing the Madonna song? Are you doing it like in the rock and roll genre?
We have a term that we like to use, which is rockify.
Okay.
We'll usually rockify those types of songs.
Right.
We had a really good Beyonce one back in the day.
Did we?
What's it ride?
Rihanna.
Rihanna? Oh, sorry. Yeah,
that was really fun. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm not well versed in pop culture at all.
I really want to do Toxic again. The Britney Spears one.
Britney Spears. Yeah.
That was really fun to, like, really make, like, metal and just, like, do like genty. Yeah. Am I allowed to swear on here?
Yes.
We are.
Genty shit.
It's an all-language show.
Ow.
All awesome. Languages.
Yeah, fuck censorship. That, pussies.
Yeah,
for fucking weaklings.
Okay, so let's get back on track. Yeah, it's definitely more geared towards the actual like rock music typically, right. And then sometimes people will come up and say, "Can we do this?" And we'll say, "Let's try." Like, let's try.
How do you decide on who you're going to be backing up? Like in terms of the drag performers, do they reach out to you guys? Do you guys reach out to them? How does that work?
We've had plenty of people reach out. I think we do our own seeking. Mm-hmm. If we have people who we want on the show, we'll try to get them. So it's a bit of both.
And I think too, like we'll have performers come on the show, and then they'll have a lot of fun, and they'll tell us about a friend of theirs that they know would also love. Yeah, totally. So there's a really really good connections in like that community for sure. So we've found a lot of great people like that.
Kieran, how did the idea for this show, this once a month show, Rock and Roll is a Drag, how did this come about?
I'm pretty sure it was Hartley's idea.
Who?
Originally. Hartley.
Of
Jack doesn't know anything. We can move on.
What's it? No, but what's the what's it?
C-Rock Live.
C-Rock Harley Live. Of C-Rock Live.
Did he come up with the concept for it? Or
yeah, I guess he did. It was between our manager and Harley from C-Rock Live that I guess, yeah, pioneered it. And I think we were sort of involved in some of the ideas in the
I mean, they formulated the concept and we kind of heard about it and went, oh, sounds like a lot of work. And then we kind of figured out how to do it. And does that answer the question?
Yeah. Hopefully. What do you think?
So why are you doing it? If it didn't innately come from the four band members, why are you doing it?
Money. It's not money. It's negative money.
Then why are we doing it?
Because it's fun.
Yeah. At first it was definitely...
Because I would think that it's... As a band, you have to suddenly learn songs that you don't necessarily do.
I mean...
As a group to back these people up.
So. Covers are a thing we enjoy doing, mm-hmm. So that helps. It is a lot of work, but we do have fun with it. And it's fun to... I don't know about Davey, but I'm sure it's fun to not be the front man of the band for once.
Oh, yeah.
So our drag performer of the night, whoever it may be, can kind of take that role over and
Davey singing? Can just...
So the way this show works is we play the music, but the original vocal split track is played over the PA. So the drag queens are lip syncing, okay. As they would to a normal song, but we're actually playing the music on our instruments.
And you have... Like an a cappella or something?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we can track down
just
the,
pull that.
The isolated vocals, right. Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Just get the stems online.
Yeah, basically. You
know. Oh, okay. Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
So, Kieran, the audiences for Rock and Roll as a Drag, is it different to, say, when you're performing outside of that show? Or is it the same audience?
That's a good question. Who comes to the...
I think it's different.
I mean, Miranda's at like every show, so, you know.
Shout out.
Yeah. Super fan.
Yeah, we love
Is
her.
Is there more of an LGBT content to the audience members for the Rock and Roll as a Drag?
We play to the show? Other bands and their girlfriends, so...
It's not true at all.
Self-diss.
I think the audiences are... there is definitely overlap for our regular rock shows and... Mm. And Rock and Roll is a Drag, but I think the demographics do differ a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know how to tell like if people are
if
part
you guys
of
have some gay people.
Yeah,
in
I know
or
that's
not.
The thing. I don't have good gaydar
are you gay
or anything
or
like that.
Straight?
Yeah, please. We have this forum. Please check a box when you come in. I don't know, but I know that it attracts the crowd of people that aren't as into rock and roll and are very into drag. Like there are some people in there that for sure wouldn't just come to see us because, you know, like rock and roll can be a lot and people like going to do other things, but people love drag. So those drag lovers, they come in a lot more than for our shows.
Right. Yeah. And where are you – do you tend to do these shows? Is it across the city? Is it at one particular venue?
Right now it's at the Hideout at Bathurst and College. Mm. But we're kind of feeling it out and taking it one show at a time kind of thing, one month at a time. So.
Well said. On that note, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Joanne Vanicola, and I'm an actor and a writer, and I was first on Rainbow Country with Mark Tara on CIUT 895 FM, discussing the massacre at Pulse Club in Orlando. I realized how important it was for our community to have a radio station, specifically for our issues, to talk about people in the LGBTQ community and to provide an outlet for our stories, to discuss our politics, culture, and give voice to the issues that matter to us. And, of course, our artists and the things that we do globally and right here in Toronto and talk about culture. And without people like Mark Tara providing a space for this with a radio show like this, then we wouldn't have that voice. So, support. Tune in. Thank you.
Hi, I'm recording artist Corey Stewart, and you're listening to Rainbow Country with Mark Tara on CIUT 89.5 FM.
Gender bending, genre defiling. Davey, you perform in drag? Is this correct?
Yes. Often.
Do you perform in drag all the time?
No.
Okay.
I don't know what drag is, but I don't think I do it all the time.
You don't know what drag is?
No.
It's
no.
When you're
he's
male.
He's being all philosophical. He knows what drag is. So it's just.
Sorry, yeah, go.
You know what drag is.
I do, okay. But then I've talked to people about different things in the drag community. Do you know hyper queens and hyper kings?
No.
Term? Yeah. So a hyper queen is somebody who identifies as a woman in everyday life and does drag as a woman.
Okay.
And a hyper king is somebody who identifies as a man in life and does drag as a, or whatever. I don't know what, again, I don't know what that means because we're not, I'm not into that whole gender stuff. That it's sort of a bummer sometimes, but the look of drag I do sometimes, in, I think a more of a toned down sort of dirtier, glammier way. And then sometimes I'll be a little more casual about it for sure.
And so why are you doing it? Why do you choose to wear like fishnets?
Because you look great.
A wig and makeup and a leather skirt and all that sort of stuff. Why do you choose to do that?
Why do I choose to do it?
Is it, first of all, is it something that is put upon you to do?
Yes, for sure. Sometimes. Sometimes it's like requested, and sometimes people around me who really like how things look. I'm not a looking person myself. All I do is hear, like, I don't know. I'm not a great appreciator of the visual. But I mean, the impetus for it was that Kieran, I was in, the living room with her and she said, "Oh, you should do drag for this band." And I said, "Yeah, I should." And that was why it started, really. Mm. I did a little bit in high school for like musical theater. I did some drag stuff. Mm-hmm. Not in the classic sense, more like gender bending, cross dressing, mm-hmm. I guess. Mm-hmm. It's a form of expression that if it feels so different from the clothing that I wear and feel like very normal in. Mm-hmm. It's a totally different feeling being on stage and like,
do you feel comfortable dressed as a woman? For lack of better words.
Do I feel comfortable? I don't. This is the thing. I don't think when I do drag, I become a woman. I don't think that is something that I do. I think I'm up there and I'm in drag, but I don't think I'm ever trying
to be.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is part of part of why I find it confusing, because I love the skirts and I can't really wear most of the heels on stage because because I'll die.
Why?
Because I have to, honestly, because I'm not good enough yet.
Platform.
You also use my pedals. Yeah. I don't want you crushing those.
It's true. I have to, there's some footwork and I just, if I went down with like my guitar, I would feel so bad for it. But like, yeah, I love the clothing and the makeup is fun, and just letting go of those people who have make fun of you for looking certain ways, just letting go of those people and letting them do their own thing and putting whatever you want on your body. And I know it's like, I feel so conflicted about it at times because it feels so weirdly appropriative and co-opty. I'm not trying to be look at me, I'm this look at what I'm doing, but I just I like it sometimes. And when I want to do it, I want to try to.
Do you think you look good?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Yeah. And then it asks the question, back in the day with David Bowie, dressing, how he dressed and all that, in being androgynous and, for lack of better words, in drag.
Mm.
It's, why was he doing it, right?
Yeah. So
it's...
Why was he?
I don't know. I personally don't know, but maybe just stand apart. To be different.
Yeah.
An alter ego, a character, like Ziggy Stardust.
That makes sense to me. But I also, I don't listen to him a huge amount. But whenever I've seen interviews with him or I've heard him talk, he has the energy of somebody who would do things differently. And maybe it is an image. Maybe you're right. Maybe it's a marketing thing, but I don't know.
Do you think of yourself as someone different when you're dressed in drag?
No, not most of the time.
Okay.
I think sometimes it'll happen and I'll really because when I feel when something transformative is put on me or I manage to make it to that point, sometimes it'll be different. Mm-hmm. But I think most of the time it's just trying to use my body in a different way. Mm-hmm. Presenting it differently, which changes how I can move and how I present myself. But
have you guys heard of a group called Montreal Group, called Chromeo?
I don't think so.
No. Should we have?
Maybe not. I don't know.
Okay.
They're a popular group. They've been on on late night TV shows and all that sort of stuff from Montreal, dance, retro type music. Their current record, it's two guys. They're a duo. I don't know what their sexuality is, but their current record, they're both in drag on the record cover, and they were performing in Toronto, and I reached out to try to interview them because I was say what now? In regards to this right. record cover, why are you dressed like this? Tell me more. Mm. And it was, I couldn't get a hold of them. So that's something that is still in the back of my mind to ask Chromeo.
Oh, that's a good record cover.
Kieran, you are part of the LGBT community.
Yes.
How do you see Davey when he performs and dresses in drag? How do you see him? Do you see him as someone different?
Davey in a leather skirt? I think I just see Davey in a leather skirt for the most part.
Mm-hmm. And that's. Do you think he looks good?
Yeah, he looks pretty all right in a leather skirt.
Pretty all right.
Yeah.
Nice.
I agree. Some things are way better than others. Because it takes if you wear one sort of set of clothing your entire life, and then suddenly you're presented with, oh, you can wear a whole other set of clothing. It's how do you know what looks good on you? How
would you know? The paresthesia outfit that we did in the music video was pretty fucking hot.
Oh, with the blonde wig? I saw that online on your YouTube channel.
Okay.
So... Davey, you identify, you're straight.
Yeah. I don't ask people what their gender is before.
But we're having a conversation here.
Totally. So. I mean, yeah, I think I'm attracted to femininity. In that way, I'm straight.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I wish I could be less like this, but.
you're being you, and I'm just. Asking random questions.
Mm.
But you identify as straight, yeah? No? Are you more gender fluid? How do you see yourself? Let's put it that way.
I guess the easiest thing to say would be, yeah, I'm a straight cis dude. Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Own it.
Yeah, no, totally. I don't know. It just seems the least interesting thing. Like for me, for me personally, that's just the least interesting thing about me.
By doing rock and roll as a drag, by you at times dressing in drag, are you looking to invite more of the LGBT community to see your shows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
And tell me why. Why is that important for you?
Yeah.
It's good to be obvious about being open about
attracting a community.
Yeah, I mean, like rock and metal, although I think are very accepting scenes and communities, it doesn't always look that way.
Yeah.
So that can be good sometimes.
And I think if you're actively or overtly reaching out to a certain community, that should be applauded, and there's nothing wrong with that. Mm. So,
yeah,
that's my opinion. I'm not even in your group.
You should be.
It's tough because it is like it does feel like the decision to do the drag thing is based on something so superficial as like Kieran just saying it would be fun. This is going to be a fun thing to do, and I agree with that. And on a base level, like we're doing this because we have fun playing music and we have fun dressing up and performing.
Do you think Kiss does drag?
Kiss. I don't.
Chat?
Kiss does drag? No, they do like their own thing.
So, but how do you?
I think Kiss looks like Kiss.
Yeah, but what do you call that?
I'd say I'd put that under the category of theatrical makeup. Mm-hmm. That isn't necessarily drag.
Is that a form?
Would you say maybe glam?
Yeah, they kind of started the whole glam movement with their appearance and whatnot. There was some feminine influence, I would say, obviously because they're wearing lipstick and whatnot, but they don't really go over the top with like contour and eyelashes and eyebrows and all that stuff.
But that's not necessarily what drag is.
But it's common in drag, is what I'm saying.
It feels like
their own thing. Like, of course, with the lipstick, there's like, focus on their lips. It's not the most masculine thing, but
But do you see what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, but...
But don't you think, like...
They wanted to start an original, unique brand, and they pretty much succeeded at that. They're pretty much capitalizing the band. Mm-hmm. God damn.
It does feel like a very strong brand. I don't know, like, I don't know Kiss well enough. Did they... I've always associated, I guess...
You can picture them.
Yeah.
And what their image essentially is.
Costumes and makeup. They look like
a bunch of, like, BDSM bikers in white and black face.
No. That's Rob Halford for Judas Priest.
Okay, well, vaguely
totally
something
like
that.
Totally what Kiss looks like. You're wrong.
But is drag about bending gender lines and wearing things that otherwise what something says on your passport says you shouldn't? That's a good question. Is drag having fun? I feel like if you have it too broad, why even define it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It has to be something, but that's a good point. Where's that line?
Would you see other members of the group, Pterodactyl Problems, you guys sort of donning makeup on? Not necessarily being feminine, but in a theatrical,
I could do
Kiss
a guyliner
type
but
thing.
But probably not more than... Not more than a guy liner, I think, for me.
The problem is
you would have a star in your cheeks.
No, it's not really my thing.
Okay, so Oliver would look so good in drag. Like, very, very good, for sure.
I appreciate the compliment.
I know, and this is the thing. So it doesn't appeal to everybody, but you'd look great. And like, I think Jack would actually look awesome, too. I don't know. It would be exciting to explore those options and those, like... The performance aspect a little more, but
mm-hmm. I went pretty drag king at one of our shows at the boat.
Yeah, I remember that one
with the vest.
That's true.
It's fun.
Because I will say this: I think a rock band is a rock band is a rock band. But what does Pterodactyl Problems? How do you stand apart from another rock group that might be from Kitchener Waterloo or from
We Hit Montreal? Harder and.
You know what I'm saying?
Sonically?
Not sonically. What sets you apart? What sets you apart for that people will say, let's go see that band because
I hope our live show sets us apart.
We have a pretty contagious energy, I would say, and tonally, I guess, is a little bit different. Rock bands are more...
On your YouTube channel, you performed at Lee's Palace.
We did.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys covered that like you filmed it.
Properly, yeah. Like audio properly. From the board, professionally mixed.
It's amazing. It looks Thank really you. Good.
Oh, thanks.
How did you guys pull that off?
I know some camera friends.
And I know an audio engineer who's pretty talented.
Did you like mount them on the wall?
Yeah. So the Lee Show was our record release party. So mm-hmm. we wanted to document that the best we could. Okay. So I had a friend come in and film. And we Shout out Michael.
Lovely guy.
December Flower Films. Yeah. And we also... my like real job is doing film and video for people. Mm-hmm. So I had I kind of knew what I was doing. So I mounted some GoPros around and I edited it all together.
Well done.
That was my job, which took a while. But yeah, it was just like it was important to us, to me at least, to capture that show because it was an important one. Mm-hmm. And then technically, yeah, it's just a bunch of cameras and Final Cut. So
it looks great.
Thank you.
Well, job well done.
Thanks.
Looks good. Sounds good.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
So, Jack, can people find out about Pterodactyl Problems?
We're on pretty much all social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
Under Pterodactyl Problems?
Yep, just at Pterodactyl Problems.
Mm-hmm. Good luck spelling it.
Yeah.
I like to say pterodactyl. That kind of helps me remember how to spell it.
Yeah.
The P is silent. Yeah. You know. It's like the old dinosaur.
Unhelpfully.
Yeah, Pterodactyl Problems at a... yeah. That was fun.
And we're on pretty much all the streaming platforms, too, mm-hmm. so you can get our music.
Yeah, there. Apple Music or Spotify, wherever you listen. And then we have pterodactylproblems.com, mm-hmm. where everything else it's that there. Goes anywhere mm-hmm. goes on the yeah. website, so...
So 2020, what's coming up for the group in 2020?
We're writing a new record right now.
New album.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And new album and lots of shows.
And any idea in regards to when that would come out?
Hopefully a tour.
Within 2020?
We really hope to... I think definitely we'll get a record out in 2020.
Yeah. Like
I don't know exactly when, and I don't think we should throw around any dates.
We're
going
to get a record out in 2020? I think we might start recording a record. I don't know for...
That's true.
I feel like it might be kind of ambitious to say that it's going to come out in 2020.
It'll come out in 2020.
If you dump enough money into it, you can get it done sooner.
Yeah, that's true.
But how much money...
New record, 2020, and lots of shows.
The reason our record took a bit to come out was our engineer is... Not a professional audio engineer. He's a father, and he's married,
That's
and he's
so
got a
cute.
Day job, and he does audio in his spare time, and he did a really, really good job.
But this time, we're gonna go to the real deal. We're going to be getting it in. Go Rules No Fish, 2020.
Ooh, unofficial album
title
announcement.
Wow, you just announced the album title without consulting
Sorry.
Us? Wow, go fuck yourself.
That's what we got.
Yeah, Davey, go fuck yourself.
I will.
Bitch.
Can do.
Davey... Jack, Kieran, Oliver, thanks for your time. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having us, Mark.
It was lovely.
Heavy, 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 for that I'm always ready. Sad to meet our crew too, and sing sadly alone. Oh, heavy, 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 for sadness always fed me. Top, I go to the river, so I have no more thoughts.
quick talk will quickly turn and give you such a nasty burn. You were planning on having learned how to act more. How to act more. Cool, baby, hey. Let me act cool for you, honey. Let me act cool for you.
Hello and bonsoir, Toronto. I'm recording artist Teruz. You're listening to Rainbow Country with Mark Tara on CIUT 89.5 FM.
By the way, if you'd like to see Pterodactyl Problems in person, their next gig is on Thursday, February the 13th, 7 p.m., Bovine Sex Club, that's in Toronto, 542 Queen Street West. Again, special thanks to Davey, Jack, Kieran, Oliver, the members of Toronto-based rock band Pterodactyl Problems for taking their time to be on Rainbow Country. Don't forget to keep up to date with all things country, Rainbow Country. Follow me on socials, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, at Mark Tara Music. Want to be on the show? Maybe you know someone who should be on the show. Send me an email, mark@marktara.com. The podcast for Rainbow Country is on iTunes, Podomatic.com, Google Play Music, Stitcher Radio, and on Spotify. So get Rainbow Country wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And the playlist, the official playlist, is on Spotify. And of course, everything is hooked up at my website, marktara.com. Next week, PR expert, Diane Foy. Finally, I want to take this time to thank you for taking your time to be with me. Remember, we live in days of making dreams come true. So believe in yourself, and the world will believe in you.
Hi, I'm Mayor John Tory, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.